Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Father God, we come on this morning with a grateful heart, Father God, to say thank you for another day. Father, this is a day that you have made. Hallelujah. And we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, Father, your name is great. And your name is greatly to be praised. Father, we want to say thank you for your protection over us as we slept and we slumbered, Father God. And we want to thank you for your gift of us one more day, another day that you have commanded us to rise. We thank you for pushing back the forces of darkness and canceling every satanic agenda, a plot, plan, scheme, ploy, and contract that the devil, Father God, would have devised against us. We say thank you, Father God, for helping us to overcome the spirit of premature death, Father God, for we cannot die, but we will live because we are already dead, Father God, in you. We just want to say thank you for the gift of eternal life, even right now, Father God. Thank you for new mercies that embrace us today, Father. We say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. We realize you didn't have to do it, but you did do it, and we thank you for doing it, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for a host of angels encamped around about us. We thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for an open heaven. Oh, Father God, we say thank you for all of your blessings that make it rich and you add no sorrow to it. So, Father, we embrace the gifts of this brand new day. We embrace it and we say thank you for it, Father God. in Jesus' name. Father, help us to spend our time wisely today. Help us not to squander today, Father. May you and you alone be glorified in it. Thank you for the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries, Father. We want to say thank you for our past, our present, and our future. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you praise. Bless our services even today, Father. Hallelujah. And we honor you in everything said and everything done. Now, Father God, as you taught your disciples to say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, both now and forevermore. And our soul says amen, amen, amen. And our soul says amen again. Amen, amen, amen. This is a day that the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice, and we shall be glad in it. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, God's name is great. And God's name is so greatly to be praised. We want to say good morning, good morning, good morning to each and every one of you. Welcome back to the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries, Mentoring Kingdom Leadership, where Jesus Christ is the Lord. We want to welcome all of our first-time visitors today. Glory be to God, second time, third time, every time. Amen, everybody. La-di-da-di, everybody. Amen. We woke up this morning, and our mind is on Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, because he's the one who did it. Amen. And Dr. Alfreda Bradford out of Philadelphia. Amen. Hallelujah. Giving God praise. Amen. Where would we be if it wasn't for Jesus? Where would we be if Jesus didn't love us? Where would we be if Jesus did not care? Where would we be if Jesus had not sacrificed his life? Oh, but we are so glad and so glad that he did. Amen. Glory be to God. We do have a reading this morning, but before we take our reading, I want to read a scripture. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. I'm not quite sure how the Lord is taking our service today. Amen. But you best believe it's only going to go the way he take it. Amen. Hallelujah. You can believe that. Amen. Psalms 143 says this: hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsts after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Hoo-hoo-hoo. And this is the blessed word of God for the blessed people of God. And we do give God praise, glory, and all of the honor. Amen and amen. All right, saints, amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So this morning, amen, hallelujah. Okay, the focus is on our minister Shannon. I see the Lord doing something different today. Amen. So let us begin. Amen. I already have my instructions from him how we're going to do this particular call. Amen. We've already had the word. Amen. The word has gone forth. The scripture reading has gone forth. So regardless of how the balance of this service goes, we've already heard from God because the word is already going forth. So let us begin. Our sister Shannon has a reading to share with us and the way she likes to come. Amen. And do her presentations. Amen. So, amen. We want to thank God for this woman of God. Amen. Coming up in the ranks. Amen. Glory be to God. Seeking the face of the Lord. Amen. Putting up a good fight. Amen. Being trained masterfully in spiritual warfare. Amen. Glory be to God. Highly, highly intelligent. Highly intelligent. Many gifts and many gifts. Amen. Many profound gifts, I might say. Amen. And so we thank God for her. So at this time, amen. God bless you. Amen. Sister Shannon, amen. And the floor is yours. Are you there, Sister Shannon?
Yes, I am, Pastor. Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you. Mm-hmm. Good morning. And thank you to all those on the line. I want to just say welcome you all over the globe, all over the world, South Africa, and all over the globe for chiming in to hear the word of God today. Thank you, and may you be blessed by the word of God in Jesus' name. My reading today comes from 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 26. I will be first read it out of the King James Version. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan, very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. Now, and I will read it out of the Amplified Version. This is also the same scripture, 2 Samuel 1, chapter 1, verse 26. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been a good friend to me. Your love toward me was more wonderful than the love of women. May the Lord add a blessing for the reading and hearing of his word. My reading today, basically, it's just a different perspective on what Pastor has already been teaching about when Jesus was going into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked a few of his homeboys, as the pastor put it, to come with him to pray, which we know was one was Peter and John, and I forgot the other one. Peter, John, I forgot the other one. I'm sorry. It slipped my mind for a minute. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is the loyalty that they had for Jesus, the loyalty of brotherhood is sticking together. But this is just one perspective of it, given it from David and Jonathan's relationship, friendship, brotherhood. And you can learn more about their friendship from 1 Samuel, starting from chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. Now, my reading is loyalty. Loyalty. Loyalty is one of life's most costly qualities. It is the most selfless part of love. To be loyal, you cannot live only for yourself. Loyal people not only stand by their commitment, they are willing to suffer for them. Jonathan is a shining example of loyalty. Sometimes he was forced to deal with conflicting loyalties to his father Saul and to his friend David. His solution to that conflict teaches us both how to be loyal and what must guide loyalty. In Jonathan, truth always guided loyalty. Jonathan realized that the source of truth was God, who demanded his ultimate loyalty. It was his relationship with God that gave Jonathan the ability to deal conflicted situations in his life. He was loyal to Saul because Saul was his father and the king. He was loyal to David because David was his friend. His loyalty to God guided him through the conflicting demands of his human relationships. The conflicting demands of our relationships challenge us as well. If we attempt to settle these conflicts only by the human level, we will be constantly dealing with a sense of betrayal. But if we communicate to our friends that our ultimate loyalty is to God and his truth, many of our choices will be much clearer. The truth in his word bring light to our decisions. And I want to ask you a question as I close the reading. Do those closest to you know who has your greatest loyalty? Thank you. Everybody have a blessed day.
Well, thank you for that reading, Minister Shannon. Amen. And we blessed be the name of the Lord for that reading on loyalty. Amen. So don't go nowhere, because the Lord said that this is your day. This is your day. Amen. So I'm just talking as the Lord is talking to me. All right. So you shared with us on loyalty and friendship, and we want to thank God for that. Amen. Because in all of my years of knowing you, I know you to be a very loyal friend. If you are a friend to someone, you are a friend to someone. Amen. And your friendship is a loyal one. I don't know you as a backstabber. I don't know you as a gossiper. You know, matter of fact, I know you as an encourager. You know, even as you seek for encouragement yourself from time to time, as we all do, I see that you still find time to reach out and speak words of encouragement on others. Amen. So we want to thank God, amen, for that reading today. Definitely describes a portion of your character and who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So the Lord is saying to me that, so today is our Praise Wednesday, amen, where we normally share testimonies and that type of thing. But the Lord is asking me for your testimony, your praise report. You're it today. Amen. You're it. Amen. All the light is on you. As a matter of fact, after your testimony, I'm going to give a couple of announcements and give the benediction. Amen. Because the word is already going forth. Amen. So, amen. The Lord is telling me that there is a testimony, there's a praise, amen, report. Amen. It's something, amen, that he has put in you for you to share, amen, to the audience on today. And the floor is yours. I know I put you on the spot, but that's how the Lord does us. Amen. Be ye always ready. Be ye always ready. Yes. Amen. Yes. In Jesus' name, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, my testimony today is, I don't know, some may find it conflicting, as I always come, you know, with the Holy Spirit making me be so transparent about my life and the direction that God is placing me. I can kind of see, you know, where he's shifting me into a certain area. And it's one that it always is not comfortable because I'm not used to it. It is not easy being so transparent, opening up myself, opening up old wounds and past transgressions. But through these things, I'm learning more about myself, but mostly learning more about Christ. And as I said one time before on the line, the kingdom of God and how it operates. My testimony is about, you know, coming from a place of a family, dysfunctional. On one side of the family, my mother's side of the family, I'm coming from prostitutes, bootleggers, thieves, liars, whoremongers. The ones that are professing to be saved are only carnal Christians. But let's switch the spectrum to the other side of the family. Then I have my father's side of the family, where I'm coming from people who know God. My grandmother, Libby, was the first person that spoke the word of God into my heart as a young girl, singing songs of God got the whole world in his hands and different hymns and in the backyard picking apples and peaches with her as she ministered to me, speaking into my spirit, saying, Shannon, you are lovely. You're wonderfully and fearfully made. I believe that was one of the first scriptures she spoke into me, and always encouraging me to move forward even through adversity. And I, as I begin to notice the difference between the parallel of the two parents, the two different sides, I now that I'm older and I could take a step back and see all these things right before me, I'm like, wow, God, you allowed me to be born to these two different people who came together to bring me into existence. I'm going to put it like that. We all know how we come into existence. We all know that. But these two people, God chose these two people me to come through their lineage. And I've always had to fight maybe a duel from what I already knew what was deep down inside of me to do right, to go this way, versus what I already knew to do right but didn't do it. Struggle. And through that struggle, it has led me through some perilous times. My testimony is one of, I came from a background where my grandmother would always say, never leave out of this house with a man. The same, never come back to this home the same way you left out with a man. And when hearing these things as a young girl and having seven aunts before me, seeing all that they were doing, I'm like, wow, waking up to bootleg and liquor. A speakeasy. I woke up with liquor, people coming and give me a half a pint, give me a beer, give me this. As a young girl, I remember making change and doing this and getting 50 cents here, a quarter there. But it came at a cost because these men were older. Most of the time, nobody was giving me wisdom and direction in this type of scenario. So therefore, I was maybe getting a quarter here, but being touched here. Maybe not physically, but a pinch here, a pinch there. You know how old the men are. You are all that are seasoned. And in that, like I said, it groomed a different type of perspective. And then when I had to leave this environment and go over to my grandmother, who was loving, and my father, all of these people who loved the Lord, who were speaking positiveness into my spirit and grooming me, not knowing that basically they were speaking into me and grooming me. And as I'm seeing this side and I'm saying, wow, I come here, I feel joy, I feel peace, I feel like a child is supposed to feel. But it was conflict because I loved my mother. I loved my mother's family. I cherished them. I didn't understand a lot, and I didn't understand why my mother never stood up and tried to mold me and my sister in a different way. But now I understand, as being a mother and a grandmother now myself, I understand now. She didn't know no better. She didn't know Christ. She wasn't brought up in that environment. She was brought up in hostility herself, being brought up in a brothel, like type setting, like being brought up in a bootlegging type situation. Although my grandparents on my mother's side were good, upstanding people, they worked, they came from down south, they had the roots of being brought up in Jessup, Georgia, and all those things, because I could remember being brought up on the farm, picking vegetables and being groomed in how to cook and how to run a household. That was already being embedded in me, but also those other bad things were being brought up and embedded in me. Coming from a family of incest. Different things taken on that a child should never have to see. But through it all, having that praying grandmother, Mary Sproul, grandmom Libby, sitting at the bosom, sitting at her, seeing her operating, doing all that a virtuous woman should do. And also on my father's side of the family, my grandparents, my grandmother, Mary Sproul and William Sproul, were more like, if anybody knows the TV show, Archie Bunker. My grandmother was always the loving Edith, always succumbing to my grandfather's demands, who would bellow his voice through the house. He had a voice that would demand, shake you, tremble you almost. But once I came alone, I kind of softened the situation in the household as being one of the first granddaughters, softening it as they see me and you know, seeing me coming forth and all those things. And I used to sit at my grandmom and look and say, well, why does my grandfather speak so harshly, but my grandmom has such a sweet disposition? And I mean, it was just so, I felt so peaceful when I would go there. But when I got set to go back to my mother's house, I'm like, okay, as soon as I walk back on that territory, I knew to change. That's what I mean by the conflict. I need to change, to shift. Okay, now I'm going back to this. And I know what this entails. I might come in, as soon as I walk in the door, put my bag down. And I'm talking about as early as 6 or 7. Shannon, go to the refrigerator and get Mr. So-and-so a Miller's and a Schaefer's and make change. And that someone I'm probably was handing those beers to was somebody that was trying to do inappropriate things to me. But I thank God that through it all, through all those turmoils and all that drama and all that stuff I went through, and me running and running and running and eventually just running from every situation, just trying to get some relief. After a while, it became to be overwhelming as a child. And as I became into my 12 and 13 and 14 years of age, being out in the streets because I'm just running, trying to find some relief, really not knowing what I was running to or from, but just running, wanting safety, wanting peace, wanting to be guarded. And I, as I begin to run in these streets, and I begin to be molded, and my mind begin to change, because I'm changing myself into what I'm now having to go through, being like that warrior, having to protect myself always. I became a person, as I said, I think last week on the prayer warrior call, I became the kind of person that I had already made up my mind about men, and I said, okay, if this is all they want, and this is all I've ever saw, then this is what I'm going to make them pay in some form or fashion. If you want part of me, you're going to have to pay for it. And I don't mean that always money. I don't mean always money, because I was very savvy because of the way I had to be brought up. But still remembering the voice of my mother, my grandmother, Mary Libby, speaking in my ear. And I remember one of the most profound things that happened to me when I ran away, trying to run, trying to find safety, living on the streets of Philadelphia. A cop one day, when they used to do truancy, they used to pick you, they used to do a sweep, and they picked me up one day downtown in one of those, it was a arcade. And he picked me up around 15th and Chestnut. There used to be two arcades around in that area. And he picked me up, Puerto Rican cop, gets me in the car, and he says, all right, I'm taking you down. And I'm like, come on, man, why are you hassling me? I just left out of Roy Rogers, because I used to go to Roy Rogers and brush my teeth, wash my face, and then try to find some food. And I said, why are you hassling me, man? Come on. I said, come on, man, don't take me in. Because like I said, I was savvy. And I said, come on, man, don't take me in. And I said, okay, I got resolved. I said, okay, I'm about to be taken to the jail or wherever. And at that time, I had never seen the inside of a police station, but I knew where he was taking me, threw me in the car. But as we were driving, the cop does not go back to the station. If memory serves me, he pulled somewhere around the manual, I don't know what kind of section they call that. It begins with a J-U-I. I don't know. It was a section around close to where I live at now. I want to say that close to about where I live at now, somewhere in this area, but not exactly this area where the Hispanics live at. And it was back around some train tracks. The cop takes the holster off, and I'm like, what? I'm thinking, I'm not thinking danger, but I know something is coming. When the cop takes that holster off and gets out of the front seat of that car, and I don't know if anybody's ever been in the back seat of a cop car, you cannot get out unless they open up their door to let you out. And that gate separates y'all. He gets out this car and comes back there and says, well, what are you willing to do for me? For me not to take you in? And here I am, still a child. And I said, well, What happened in that car that day, I blotted out. I blotted out. As he was finished, he had the audacity to start telling me why he was doing this to me. Started telling me about his wife and certain situations he was going through. Told me to get myself together, get back in the back seat. And as he was driving, he said, where would you have me to drop you off at? And me being like I was smart, I said, where did you get me from? Pulls up, goes back down to the city, drops me right off where the clothespin sits at here in Philadelphia. Those that live in Philadelphia know where I'm talking about. Dropped me off and gave me $5 and said to me, if I come back around here tomorrow and see you, I'm taking your BDB in. Pulled off. The situation and thought to myself, had enough sense to say, God, now what's going on? What is going on with me? Why is everything falling this way? What have I done? Why? I don't understand. So that kind of shapes your perspective. I never say I disrespect the cops. I always saw them as an authority, and I always respect them as such because they have a job to do. But that right there kind of molded and shaped me. Now, everyone that was supposed to protect me, every man, has now betrayed me in some way. So here we bring myself to the present. How has that molded and shaped me in my walk with Christ? One day I was doing something. I don't know. I was praying or I was seeking God for something. And I mean, I had to be in my early 30s. And as I was sitting there ministering and just looking over my life, looking at my children that I have now, they were small at the time. And I started crying out to God, wondering why things had to happen this way. Why? The grandmom that I loved so much that used to minister to me had died. I was about 32 when she left this earth. The other grandmother had already left as well. My other grandparents had already left. All of my grandparents are gone. And as I began to cry out to the Lord, I heard the Holy Spirit say, Shannon, God is not like a natural man. He's not your sugar daddy. You can't call on God and say, God, do this, and if you don't do this, like I was treating God like I treated these natural men. I was seeing God like I see natural men. And it took the Holy Spirit to work on my heart to get me through that time, and, you know, for me to understand now that that's not how God operates. God is not a sugar daddy. There's nothing I can do physically to make God do what I want him to do. This is a spiritual walk. This is a heart walk. And it took me many, 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 many years for God to deal with me on certain levels to get me to the place where I stopped and allow God to start working and ministering to my heart. It took many years, and the grooming is still going on as we speak. But through it all, and as I know how I used to be to where God is taking me, I am so grateful and so grateful. I mean, wisdom. I've never been to anybody's college. I've never been really in any kind of therapy. I mean, many people have tried, but it just didn't work for me. But it's God working on the inside, tearing down the strongholds, breaking down the barriers, getting into the fertile. Breaking through the fertile grounds of my heart, getting me to the place now where I can be of service to him. I mean, great service, humility. I mean, when I stand before God, I am so humble because he know where I came from. And it's just been such a blessing when I look over my life and I look over everything that I've been through and I say, my God. My God, where some women probably would have, or men probably would have turned this way or that way. I mean, still being in my right mind. And then through it all, I made a way. I said, God, by your grace and mercy, that my children will never have to suffer some of the things that I had to suffer. And I sat both of my children down one day And I told them all about me, because you know why? I never want to leave this earth and have nobody come up to them and tell them anything. They know who their mother is. They know who I am. And I did that for a reason, because I wanted them, I wanted to hear from them. What do you have to say? You are the people that should love me. You, I'm your mother, but you tell me what you two have to say to me. Say it to me. And I allowed them to be brutally honest and say, but I'm here to tell you, both of them said, Mom, we don't see you no different. You're Mom. You always made a way. You're strong. You're a fighter. You persevere. Because my son is saved. I mean, Sabrina, I'm called those things that are not, she's saved too. But when they came back with the report and said what they said, I didn't cry in front of them, but I waited till I got into my personal room and I cried. And I said, well, it's done. So now you can just go forward. It's no more looking back. It's always looking forward. My life is now in front of me. My life is hid in Christ. And as he unfolds this life that I'm living, I'm like, wow. Wow. I just know that my ministry is going to have to do something with young people and ministering to them, because I got a wealth of wisdom. I got a wealth of wisdom and testimonies that can, I mean, as God unfolds, I just be praying and saying, God, just let me open up some kind of nonprofit organization or something where I'm helping youth to get through the things that they are going through on this earth and suffering. Because if don't nobody know, I know, because I was out there. I was that child at one point in time. You don't know what that alabaster box has cost me, opening it up. And that, like Mary Magdalene washing his feet with my tears. And I hold no ill will to my parents. My father's still living, but I hold no ill will to neither one of them. Grateful, so grateful and humble. I've always honored them both. I honored my mother until she left this earth, and I honor him still to this day. I told him, I said, Dad, I forgive you. We're going to put this behind us. We're going to move forward. And that's how I've always tried to carry myself in every situation. You know, I know people look on the outward appearance, and sometimes it hurts because you don't know the person that's inside. But get to know the person inside before you judge me. But I carry it like a badge of honor. Because though you slay me, yet I will trust you more. My faith in God is growing stronger. My wisdom, the knowledge is growing stronger. And I'm just thanking God for taking me to that pinnacle moment where he can use me more and more, where it's none of me and it's all of him. I pray that I've helped somebody through this testimony. I pray that as I grow in Christ and as Christ leads me, that we can all come together and break bread and share the word of God, that we will continue to pray and encourage one another, because prayer is the key, and fasting and planting seeds, you know, of financial seeds and financial blessings and depositing into someone else's life. I want to encourage us all on this line to plant a seed, $100 into this ministry. It's like a GoFund for Pastor Bradford, Dr. Pastor Bradford, Alfreda Bradford, and Evangelist Erica, plant a $100 seed. And I'm going to lead by example. God already had told me I'm going to lead by example. We plant a seed for the goal funding, for the furthering of the ministry in Christ Jesus, because it takes money to do ministry, as Pastor said. And these women of God, still more to do, more worth fighting for our children, for our family, for the generation coming up behind us. Occupy until Christ returns. Thank you. Everybody have a good day.
Amen, amen, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And yes, your testimony, amen, is a blessing. I want to praise God for obedience to the Spirit. Amen. I knew the Lord moving me a different way this morning, but I didn't know what he was saying. until he told me, amen, that it was your day. I want to thank you for being so transparent and so open, amen, and so responding. You didn't know I was going to call on you. I didn't even know I was going to call on you. But you know what? We bless be the name of the Lord, because as you shared your testimony with your children, and your children said they don't see you no different. Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. We don't see you no different either. Amen. We don't see you no different. Amen. This is not about to judge anybody. But you know what? It shows us, beloved, that we're all here at this same place now, participating in this ministry one way, form, or another. You know, and we have all come from different avenues, but everybody got a story. Everybody got a story. You know what I mean? I didn't know, amen, how impactful your story was, Minister Shannon. Amen. Glory be to God. And I pray for you so hard, and I'll continue to pray for you. But one thing you did say here is you have a wealth of wisdom, and I was always amazed. Every time I opened your mouth, I said, where this girl get all this wisdom from? You know what I mean? Every time you open your mouth, glory be to God, it's like wisdom pours out. But now I see because of all that you have experienced from the time of a toddler, amen. But we want to thank God, amen, hallelujah, that your future is bright, your future is glorious, victorious, and beautiful. And yes, amen, you're going to be active in ministry. You're already active, amen, but there's more work to do, amen. And I just want to thank God for him bringing you into this ministry to so that we might work together. Amen. Glory be to God. She has a lot of gifts. I'm not going to share her gifts with you. She'll share the gifts with you when she's ready to share her gifts with you. Amen. But the type of gifts that Sister Shannon has is the type of people I got to keep close to me if I need her gifts. I need her gifts to watch my back. I need her gifts. Glory be to God. And so she has a lot of gifts. Amen. Glory be to God. Matter of fact, I'm gonna share one before I give the announcements. Glory be to God. Sister Shannon shared something with me. Glory be to God that the Holy Spirit has showed her about some voodoo, some witch doctor. All right, she shared that with me. She didn't know if she was right or if she was wrong. She was just sharing with me. And guess what? The Holy Spirit had showed it to me the week before, about 5 days before, God showed me exactly what Sister Shannon came and shared with me. See, look at that. Look at the confirmation. Amen. So, amen. So now I know what to do. I've been knowing what to do, but I really know what to do. Amen. Glory be to God. I really know what to do, and it's already been activated. So we want to thank you, Sister Shannon. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. For who you are, and thank you for who you are becoming, and thank you for sharing. Thank God for your gifts, and we love you, and I love you. Amen. And stay encouraged. Amen. And stay encouraged. And we bless be the name of the Lord. Amen. Beloved, the Bible tells us to whom much is given, much is required. And sometimes the more that we go through in life, amen, it's just a sign of just the equivalent of that is how heavy the Lord wants to use you. Amen. When I think about her testimony, I think about my testimony, and some of you others have shared testimonies. The more you go through, see, the more you go through, glory be to God. Mary loved Jesus, amen, to that extent because he had forgiven her for much. See, sometimes you feel like when, you know, it ain't nothing really there, I don't have nothing to repent for, it's not for God to forgive me for, see, then, you know, those type of people don't normally, you know, do too much or nothing. See, but when you know, What my mother, Pastor Westfield, would say, when you know what side of the bread that your butter is on, see, you know how much God has forgiven you. You know how much, see,
my God. And she is so grateful. And I just want to say thank the Lord. Thank God for leading us this way on today. Amen. And so we blessed be the name of the Lord. So thank you so much. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. I only post these type of testimonies on Facebook if the person tell me to, but this, you know, I don't post to our testimonies. Amen. Last week, Erica gave me permission to post, amen, because she had already posted it on YouTube, so I posted hers, but I don't post it. Amen. Glory be to God. And so we blessed be the name of the Lord. Saints, look, let me tell you something. It is so easy for us to start judging people and pointing fingers at people. See, but when you point your finger at one, it's full coming back at you. And we thank God for Sister Shannon, who was so open and transparent. But all of us done been through something. And I'm going to say it again, some S-H-I-T, all right, or some doo-doo, all right? But guess what? And we ain't free, because we would never talk about it. I ain't said Shannon told us everything, but she told us what the Holy Spirit told her to share. See, but some of us, even when the Holy Spirit is telling you, tell your testimony, you shame to talk about it. You shame. See, you know why you shame? I'm going to tell you why you shame, because you ain't free yet. You ain't free yet. Baby, because when you free, you don't give a darn. You don't care a darn. Because God, look, God has forgiven me. Glory be to God. I have forgiven myself. And it took all that for me to get to where I am today. So hallelujah. And so God be praised. Amen. God bless you, Sister Shannon. I love you, girl. Amen. And thank you for being my friend. And thank you for being a friend to this ministry. Amen. And a kingdom worker.
Thank you.
Amen. You're welcome. Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. All right, saints. Amen. Glory be to God. In form of announcements. Amen. I have a sister, our elder Nadine Hedgman had given me some announcements and I keep forgetting to share them. Amen. So let me take a minute right now. Okay. If you know anybody that has a criminal record, okay. Temple University is sponsoring a program to help clean up your record, okay? If you ever been arrested, incarcerated, and it's keeping you from the life that you want, all right? They have jobs, transitional jobs. They help with food. They help with transportation. They help with clothing. They have training. Amen. All type of good stuff. I'm going to give you the telephone number. Okay, and so you can call for more additional information if you know anybody that has a criminal record, because you know they don't want to give people with a criminal record a chance. You don't want to pay them $5 an hour. Well, how are you going to support yourself on $5 an hour? All right, so the telephone number is 484-533-7002. And it's sponsored by Temple University and the Linfest Foundation. They got it's a whole bunch of stuff here, okay? You can call, get more information. I mean, they give you food, they give you clothes, they give you a new wardrobe, plus they expunge your record. Huh? I'm going to give you that phone number again, 484-533-7002. All right, that's for anybody with a criminal record. The next announcement here is a women's reentry pilot program. Now, this is a paid apprenticeship that gives people impacted by the justice system the opportunity to develop job skills. If you know anybody that needs to develop their job skills, if you know anybody that needs to reconnect with their community, or to begin to heal through the arts. Okay, here's a paid program for women. Okay, the first few weeks is on Zoom, and then the following weeks is at 9th and Spring Garden. The classes begin April 19th, hours a week, and you get paid while you're in training. All right. So let me see if I have a telephone number here. Okay, here's the telephone number for the Women's Reentry Program. 215-866-1859. Mrs. Harris is in charge of that. The telephone number is 215-866-1859. Bless the Lord. And we also have an announcement here. Focus on Fathers Parenting Program. Oh, this is huge because you don't really give emphasis on fathers, but there's a lot of fathers raising children, raising families. All right. So here we have a virtual classes on for fathers. Glory be to God. They give parenting education, employment information, and they're giving out some money. All right. Classes start in April. Let me give you the telephone number for that. Okay. For the Fathers Parenting Program. If you know any fathers out there that's parenting, okay. Larry Woody is the name of the contact person that you want to call. Larry Woody, W-O-O-D-Y. And that telephone number is 267-765-2361. Again, telephone number is 267-765-2361. And we bless the Lord. I believe there's some announcements. I think our sister Priscilla has sent me an announcement. I do apologize for that. If so, I'll check my emails and I'll share that with you this week. Amen. Be blessed be the name of the Lord. Yesterday, I couldn't get it together. Okay, I got it together now. Y'all know I try to be tight. I try to be tight. All right. I said that we have on this particular platform, we have a global audience. And I couldn't remember the name of the countries, okay? We have Australia. We have the United Kingdom. We have the Philippines and South Africa. And, of course, United States of America. And that's just on this platform. That's not talking about the 127 countries that we are in with the media broadcast. Amen. And so we want to thank God. Amen. Thank God. And to God be praised. If you have an announcement that you'd like for us to share on the ministry, amen, just get it to us. Amen. Glory be to God. Everybody has the email address. Amen. And we'll share it. Amen. Because we want to support one another, definitely pray for one another, and help one another. We can't go to everybody's party. Okay. But, you know, we can at least pray. We can at least pray, and everybody knows somebody. Everybody knows somebody who knows somebody. Amen. And we bless be the name of the Lord. All right, that's it for today, saints. Amen. We'll be at the altar prayer at 12 o'clock. Amen. For our 12 o'clock prayer. And then we'll be back tonight at 8 o'clock for our Wednesday night Bible study. Please come and join us. If you're new to this ministry, the telephone number is 385-799-9729. Amen. And we give God praise, glory, and honor. Father, we say thank you for this service on today. Thank you for using our minister Shannon, Father God. Oh, Father God, you're so awesome. You're so awesome, Father God. We thank you for destiny on her life. We thank you for a purpose. Her purpose will not be aborted. Her destiny will not be aborted. Father God, her testimony will not be stripped away. We bind every spirit of retaliation, Father, in Jesus' name, coming up against her. Father, every spirit of whiplash coming up against her, Father God. But we realize her testimony, Father God, is going to set so many people free. So many people, Father. And we just want to bless you even right now. Thank you for the word. Thank you for your people. Thank you, Father God, for everybody under the sound of my voice. Thank you, Father God. We just so full of gratitude. We don't know where to stop. So we just want to say we give you praise for everything today. In all things, we give you praise. As we move around today, help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time today, Father. We cancel bad news. We cancel tears. We cancel sorrow. We cancel premature death. It will not take root and it will not prosper. Father, thank you for showing us your pathway for provisions. Meet us back at the altar of prayer and meet us back for Bible study tonight. And whatever we do today, Father, may you be well pleased in Jesus' name. Now we bind every spirit of retaliation in Jesus' name, and we seal this prayer and this service by the word, the blood, and the spirit. And we cast it at Jesus' feet, and it cannot and it will not be broken. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. And the church said, amen, again, amen. All of you who can and will, try to put your place down this morning. Amen. Even if it's only till 10 o'clock, amen, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, sacrifice something. Amen, beloved. We know we haven't been announcing our Wednesday prayer, our Wednesday fasting time. Amen. But sacrifice something. Amen. Unto the Lord today. Amen. Let me close with this reading. Amen. In my devotion this morning, I ran across this reading. I sort of forgot I had it. Amen. It's called The Essence of a New Day. And it reads like this. It says, this is the beginning of a new day. You have been given this day to use as you will. You can waste it or use it for good. What you do today is important because you are exchanging a day of your life for it. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever. In its place is something that you left behind. Let it be something good. Amen. Amen. That's beautiful. We may have to use that to close out each day. Amen. Satan is defeated. The darkness is dispelled. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and he definitely is the Lord of Lords. Amen, amen, and amen.
To show him your love.
Amen, amen, amen. Grace and peace, saints. Grace and peace.